Praise God. The vision for this church that really God gave the elders probably almost 5 years ago was for us to love God and love others and live a missional lifestyle. In the beginning of August, Kathy and I actually took 2 weeks off, two total weeks, 14 days. I don't know if I ever did that in my life, to tell you the truth. And it was fantastic. I mean, we had a great time, went a lot of different places. But during that time, I started doing the ings, the ing, apostrophe s. And these were the words that were coming into my mind: praying, reflecting, reading, thinking, planning, seeking God about my own personal relationship with Him. Because we all have to do that. We all have to come before God and talk to Him, you know, and talk about our relationship with Him. And then that turned into the big ing, the thanking. Thanking of the Lord for my life, for my doll, for our house, everything. I just thank Him for everything. I thank Him when there's a green light when I'm driving to work, praise God. But just having the blessing to be able to lead this place, to lead this church home, is unbelievable humbleness that comes over me, and I'm just so thankful about it. I feel blessed, and I want you to know that being away for 2 weeks, I want to tell you, I love you all. I love you all so much. I care about you. I pray about you. When the Lord puts you and your family on my heart, I pray about you. When you fill out a prayer request, I pray for you. When you text me or call me, like Betty Clay called me last night, and I talked to her. When you call me, or when you just stop by and talk. I had a precious lady stop by and talk to Elizabeth and I this week. It's beautiful to fellowship. Why? Because we're a family. We're a family, and we do things together. So then during the break, Israel Holton, if you know his music, and Dennis, he can sing them all, man. But, I mean, I love Israel Holton and the song Moving Forward. Look it up. In fact, I put the lyrics in a salmon color sheet in your listening guide there. Just a couple words. I mean, it just moved me. He says, oh, hey, what a moment you brought me to. What a way to start a song out. What a moment you brought me to. Such a freedom. And remember Jeff Evans, who talked about freedom. Remember today, Nate and our group, we talked about freedom of being a Christian. Such a freedom I found in you. You're the healer that makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know if he was trying to copy the Beatles or what, but, and then the verse goes on, I'm not going back. The chorus is, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead, here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. And I want everybody who walks in these doors, no matter what day of the week it is, to surrender their lives to Christ, to learn what it means to live for Christ and make a difference for Him, for you to grow in your relationship with Him, to get connected here at this church, with this church family, Community Christian Fellowship. And how does that happen? Through Bible studies, through community groups, through events like our community lunches. For everyone to find out their spiritual gifts, because that's important, that the Holy Spirit has given you, and to use them to serve the church and serve your family. And in our church family, and I thought of these four verses, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, and now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, empowers them all and everyone. That's very important that you understand that. Oh, I love that emphasizing all and everyone, because if you're here and you know Christ, it's about the gift you have. It's about the service you do. It's about the activities that you do for your church family. It says in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, manifestation might sound like a wild word or something, but it's just an outward appearance. It's how can I say, perceptible. It's recognizable that we know Christ. And he does that through him when we know him. So you see, the title for the message today is Moving Forward, which came from that song. It's also a title of a series of messages that I'm starting today. And I got some questions for you. It's always about questions. Do you ever feel stuck? Do you ever feel stuck in your personal life? Maybe it's your marriage or raising your kids or your job or maybe some of your friends. And then how about your relationship with God? Do you ever feel stuck there? Do you ever feel like you're not growing or you're not moving forward like you should be? Because you think about it, we all go through trials. We all go through sufferings, temptation, heartaches. That's why Elizabeth does that in the beginning, you know, lay out your prayer, give it to each of us so we know what to pray for you for. But then I thought about these two questions. What can we do as a church and as a church family to move forward personally? And then how about moving forward as a church family? And it might start with us actually asking ourselves, are we interested in growing personally? Are we interested in growing personally with the Lord? Or are we busy just sleeping in on Sundays? Or are we busy just doing the things the world tells us to do and not being excited about growing in your relationship with God? And then how about as a church family? How are we going to grow as a church family? It might come to the bottom line is church all about me and all about my needs? Or is church all about what he wants for us? What his purpose is for us? What his plans is for us? So important. What his will is for us. And I'm going to tell you, am I 67, Kathy, or 66?
You're only 39.
All right, 39, praise God. So this verse is probably in my heart and mind every day of my life. I don't know if it's a growing up Catholic, I don't know. 2 Corinthians 5:10 is in my life a lot. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. That's like one of those bottom line verses. Now that verse is not whether you're going to stand before God, whether you're going to heaven or hell or not. That verse is not about that. Because the victory's been won when you receive Christ, when you ask him to forgive you of your sins and you make him Lord of your life. That's it. That's done. You're going to heaven. But one day, we're going to appear before him and give an account for what we did. For what we did, the good things and the bad things. It's so important. And then I always go back one verse to 2 Corinthians 5:9. So whether we are at home or away, we make it. Is somebody using a hammer? So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. So you look at the commentary that home or away could mean whether we're at home with Christ, you know, or we're here living. You know what I mean? Then we could turn it around for maybe the teenagers, whether you're at home with your parents or whether you're away at school. Think about it. Is your aim to please him? Somebody's talking to me, man. Praise God. Is your aim to please him whether you're at home or away? How about adults? Whether you're at home or whether you're at work, is your aim to please him? So I think if we want to choose to move forward, choose to make our aim to please him, we got to do some stuff. Because I know I want to grow close. Is there anybody here who wants to grow closer to him today? Just give me a hand raise. Anybody, man, that should be our goal every day. We just don't wait till Sunday to show up. We do it every day. We want to please him with everything we do. The Bible says, whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We got to live that way. And when we start living that way, we just start getting blessed. And there's times when there are trials come or things come in our lives, sickness or disease, and we know who we trust in. Right, Regina? That's a good word, trust. We got to trust him. When I come up to that big bridge and I pull over, Kathy, I can't drive over it. You know, you got to trust in Christ that you can do that. Thank you for doing that yesterday, Kathy. Praise God. So I got some steps for us today if we want to move forward, if we want to make that decision that we want to move forward and make a difference and make this place, this church family, about His plans and His vision for us. One, obviously, prayer. The first step has got to be prayer. And I would stand up here, I can't remember whether it's 66 or 67. I know, or I should say that I have learned, and it took me a while, that I can't do it all. Oh my gosh. I can't do it all. And what it would take to lead a church on my own. And I would like us to take a look at the guy. Who can tell me, raise your hand, who was the cupbearer in the Old Testament? Who can tell me who the cupbearer was in the Old Testament? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Nehemiah, you got us, sister. Praise God. You just want a free Chick-fil-A lunch, Kathy and I'll take you. Praise God. Think about it. Nehemiah. And what did he do? In verse 3, it says, in the beginning of the book of Nehemiah, he was with one of his brothers, Hanani, and certain men from Judah. He asked them concerning about the Jews who had escaped and survived in the exile and concerning Jerusalem. And here's what he says, verse 3. And they said to me, these people came to Nehemiah and said, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exiles in great trouble and shame, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates are destroyed by fire. And I read that verse and I thought, what does that look like in today's term? And I found a statistic, I heard a statistic on TV while we were away. The church right now in many places is declining. There's no doubt about it. I heard the statistic that only 50% of people in America go to church now. 50%. 1 out of 2, 5 out of 10, 50 out of 100. I can't go any higher than that. Praise God, man. Somebody's using a hammer. Are they working on the roof today, Keith, or what? Praise God. Think about it. And then they said that's down 20% over just 10 years. So in 2009, 70% of Americans was going to church now. Hey, I wonder why that is. You know, I start asking those questions and thinking about that. So what in the world did the cupbearer do? What did Nehemiah do? Verse 4, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down. And Nehemiah said, I wept and I mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, oh, Lord of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps a covenant in steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. In verse 6, he says, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night. Nehemiah was doing it. For the people of Israel, your servants. And then he says, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. And then he says something cool. Even I and my father's house have sinned against you, God. Think about it. So the first step is praying. The second step you see in the portion of verse 6 says confessing. Confessing. Every time we take communion here, I think, Lord, we can't. I mean, I love doing it in the beginning of service because we've got to get our hearts right. We've got to get our hearts right before we start worshiping, before we get into the Word. So whenever we take communion, I talk about confessing because 1 Corinthians 11:28 or 26, you know, confess your sins before you take communion. Come before Him clean. Or 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. So confessing is so important. And I look at confessing about being honest about who you are in Christ. Listen, we're all sinners saved by grace. You can't move forward without confessing. Our church can't move forward without confessing. You remember verse 3? You remember the trouble they were in? They were in great trouble. They were in shame. Their things were broken down. The gates were destroyed by fire. So then Nehemiah, in verse 7, he gives us a good example of what it looks like to confess. He says this, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. So it's so important to confess that we confess. The next step, very important, humility. Humility. I'm telling you, pride is what messes us up. Pride is what this nation has, because we have been blessed so. I mean, it's the greatest nation in the history of the world. We have so much stuff, and all of a sudden it's like pride. You know, write this chapter down. Read Deuteronomy chapter 8. Just came to mind. Read it this week. Read Deuteronomy chapter 8. And it's all about when they came through in the promised land, they had all the stuff. We don't need God anymore. We don't need God in America. We got all these things. We got a Wi-Fi. We got the internet. We got VHS. Praise God. Only kidding about that one. But to me, humility means putting the Lord's will, His word, and His purposes before yours. When you're humble, it's almost like you remember who's in charge. He goes on in verse 8 and verse 9. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But then verse 9, to me, verse 9 is almost like a definition of what it means to be faithful. In verse 9, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the utmost parts of heaven, for there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. His name is in this church. His name is in the front of this church. His name, we want every room of this church to be about Christ. Fourth step, communicating. So important. If we want to move forward, we got to communicate. He said in verses 10 and 11, they are your servants. They're your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. Do you realize if you're sitting in here today and you know Christ, you've been redeemed by Him, by His great power, by that hammer that keeps going in, and by your strong hand. Oh Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man who I am a cupbearer for the king. Praise God. That's some great noise. I think the teens have been playing some kind of rap music on Wednesday night, and the speaker's blowing, man. I think it was Jimmy doing John Reuben, praise God. But anyway, the cupbearer, ancient kings used the cupbearer. Why? Because they were trusted servants to taste everything before the king would consume it. So that's pretty important job, a cupbearer, praise God. Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In today's term, I could say, check him out, man. Check out the Lord. See if he's good or not. Surrender your life to him. And then it says, blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. That's what it's going to take to move forward, that we take refuge in him as a family. As we grow together, as we fellowship together, as we pray together, as we're humble together, as we confess together, as we're communicating. And I realize how important it is that the elders and the leaders and the teachers here at Community Christian Fellowship continue to communicate his vision for us, his word for us, his purpose for us. And how are we going to do that? By encouraging you. Encourage you to step up, raise the bar. Help us to be better for you, Lord. And we not only do this through the pulpit here, but through us getting together and connected like we did in the three community groups this morning or Wednesday nights when we start up. Please check out the lyrics of that song and that on that half sheet. The last step is participating. If you ask me, Pastor Nick, what do we need to do as a church family to improve on? What's the most thing that we can do better as a church family? And I would say all of us participating. All of us participating in what God wants us to do here. And that is for us to reach out to the people that God has placed in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our work, in our schools, and build relationships with them. Share the gospel. Invite others to be a part of God's family here. And I thought about the INGs again, the ings, studying, serving, giving, sharing, loving, forgiving, listening. All those things are important. Acts 17 says this, and he made from one man every nation of mankind. every nation, every color, every tongue, to live on the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods, think about it, and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Think about it. Where you live right now, God has ordained that. He has determined that this day you would do those things in this generation. It says that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards Him and find Him, because He's actually not far from each one of us. And then it says, in Him we live and move. And you know what move represents there? Participating in the plans and purposes He has, for we are indeed His offspring. So are you understanding that we as a church, to move forward, I believe these five steps are so important. And let me hit them again. Prayer, confession, humility, communicating, participating. So important. When I was going over this message this week, I thought, my gosh, that's five things for a marriage. Think about it. That's five things for a marriage. Praying, confessing. You know, Kathy, I'm sorry I couldn't drive over that bridge. Humility, putting the other person first. Communicating, participating. And all the wives say, amen. Amen. Praise God. If the ushers want to come forward, we get to have our meeting there. Well, I wanted to stop at 11:30. It's 11:31. Praise God. Ushers, come forward. Those five things. And I want to close. Happens to be five verses as they come forward. And if you look at Colossians 4, 2, 3, 6, and look at the subtitle, Further Instructions. Isn't that powerful? We want to move forward here. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it, with thanksgiving. So important. There's ing. At the same time, pray also for us. Pray for us. Mary told me, we pray for you all the time. I thank you for that. At the same time, pray for us that God may open up the door for the word to declare the mysteries of Christ, on account which I'm in prison, Paul wrote, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. And then this verse 5 and 6, what are you going to do with the people that God brings in your life that don't know Him? How are you going to participate in His will when you do that? Look at this. Walk in wisdom towards outside, making the best use of your time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Father, I thank you for your word today, Lord. I thank you for just this, I don't know, spurring on for us to move forward, spurring on of us to pray and confess and be humble and communicate and participating in your will. Father, it's so important that we allow you to transform our minds, and we'll be able to test and approve what your will is, your good and pleasing and perfect will, it tells us in Romans 12. Father, I pray for the rest of this service, Lord, as we take our offering and then we let our church family know what's happening in this church. What are we going to do to move forward here? How we hear from each ministry leader. How we hear what the upcoming Bible studies are. Because you're calling us to participate, right? You're calling us to communicate, right? You're calling us to be humble, Father, and pray and confess, Father. So, Father, I ask you to bless this time, bless this meeting. Father, I pray there's some great questions out there right now that people want to ask us, Father. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.